got me back on one accord. All right. All right, so I want to go with you. You know, we've been on this series all year long, reimagining God. And when we talk about reimagining God, we're not imagining him. But the truth of the matter is, when we first came to God, we came to him in a certain space. We came to him with a certain understanding of him. We came to him with a certain view of him. And the reason we do this is that when we first come to God, we're usually seeking. Amen. Some come for healing. Some come for safety. Some come for restoration. Some come for peace. And what we do is when we find God and when we find him, because look, he's big enough. He's just there. All we got to do is look. The Bible says, "But seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." That we have to go out and seek him where he may be found. And once we find him, we have a tendency to only know him in that direction. We have a tendency to only to know him in that thing. We have a tendency to only know him in that particular place. And what we've been talking about this year is that we're going to expand that territory. You're going to know him more than just the God of healing. You're going to know him more than just the God of safety. You're going to know him just as being more than the big Santa Claus. You're going to know him in all his different multifaceted parts of God. God is unlimited. It's, we cannot fathom or even try to conceptualize how big he is. But what we can do is do our very best. He says, seek him diligently where he may be found. Amen. And that's what our job is here this morning and on each and every day, is that we continue to seek him where he may be found. Now, with that, we broke those down to 12 different series that I think God has given us. And on last month, in June, this summer, we've been talking about rest. And after we talk about rest, we talk about retooling. So after you got through resting, then you needed to work on your tools. So all of last month, we talked about the tools that you had, the things that you didn't realize you had that God had already given you, and the things that you can use to take things to the next level and go to the next level that God is having for you to go. That means that now while you are resting, that you go back and you sharpen your tools. Now this month, now we got rest. Mm-hmm. Now we have the tools already. Now we have to work on our mentality. How you think about the thing. The Bible said, as a man thinketh, so is what? So is he. So that tells me that you can have the best tools, you can have all the energy, you can be all rested up, but if you don't, your mind is not right. How many of you know that you can be big, you can be strong, you can look fabulous, you can have all these things, but if your mind is messed up, what good are you to anybody? That's why I said, believe the Bible says, let this mind be in you. That's in Christ Jesus. Before I go any longer, I want to give honor to my wife, Sister Felicia Healy. Just so grateful to have her here with my mother-in-law and Sister Carolyn and the parish. I know it traveled so far. Amen. And we're just so grateful to all of you all being here. Amen. Makes the old boy smile every time I look up and I see that big head boy come into this place. Amen. He know I love him, but nonetheless, just messing with him. But nonetheless, let's go into what I think God's given us. So this month, this whole month of August, we will be focusing on mentality, the mentality, mentality, the mental space. When I think about mental, I think about mind. What is a mentality? Mentality is your thought process over time. When we talk about a mentality, your mentality is your thought process consistently over time. You can be thinking one way today and another way tomorrow, and that may be just because you're in an emotional state. There may be something that happened to you that changed your mind. We know that individuals in this day and season that we've been living in, we have people who've been dying around us. And the truth of the matter is that when somebody dies around you, it does affect you, whether you realize it or not. And that changes how you might be thinking for that moment in time. This is why we often and we preach and we teach and I try to exercise in my own life that we don't make emotional decisions. We don't make decisions when we're upset. We don't make decisions when we're feeling a certain kind of way. Why? Because those are what things that are out of character for us at that particular point in time, because we are reacting to the outside stimuli. We are reacting to that thing that happened to us. We are being oppressed. Remember, oppressed means coming from the outside. We are oppressed by the things that go on. Amen. This is why I believe that Jesus says, we be in the world, but not of the world. Meaning that what? While we're in it, there will be some things on the outside that's going to try to come. But as long as you have my spirit inside of you, as long as you have what I put inside of you and the mentality that I've weeded and planted inside of you, then what? You'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. This is why I believe that he tells us to stand and what, stand still and know that He is God. That after we've done all we can do to stand, when we believe we can't stand no more, then He knows what, that He steps in. This is why the Bible also says that what, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Why? Because I understand that I am not standing in my own mentality. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm already ready to preach. That I'm not standing in my own situation. I've given up. I don't have any more, but that's when He comes in and now He stands up. What? Because I've gotten out of the way. It's very intentional this morning we sung the songs that we sung, that what, I'm going to make myself available to you. Why? Because I have to get out of the way. I'm going to let go and I'm going to let God. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. We just don't sing what we sing just to be singing it. Amen. But there is what? A lining up, a strategic strategy to what? To get you to see that when you leave here today, that you'll be talking about all week, Lord, how do I put myself in better position to be used by you? Lord, how do I make better decisions? Lord, how do I control this mind? The Bible, book of James says it like this. He said, a man of a double mind is unstable in all his ways. That means that sometimes they this way and sometimes that way. And the Bible tells us what? To avoid those kind of things and avoid those kind of people. And if we live long enough, we find ourselves in that. I'll be first to tell you that, you know, I've gone through some things in the last couple of months I just cannot understand. And sometimes when you stop and you look at the things when they're all said and done, when they're over, and you really look back at it and say, it wasn't that bad. But when you were in it, it was hell on earth. When you were in it, you didn't know how to, you know, others can look at your situation and say, oh, you, it ain't that bad. Get over it already. Well, it's okay for you to say get over it. But until you were living there in that place and time at the level of faith that I was at, oh, come on, somebody. Because this is a faith thing. This is a faith walk. At that level of faith, this is where I was. So therefore, it was this big. If I saw it from an ant's mentality and you saw it from a human's mentality, they'd be two different things. Amen. When I'm an ant in my faith, when I'm still growing in my faith, when I see things like that, it changes how I feel about it. It changes how I understand it. It changes how I perceive the whole situation and the thing. So I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, don't let anybody belittle you. If they say that, oh, your situation ain't that bad. Oh, your situation ain't that. It is that bad to you. Why? Because it's yours. And as you grow in anointing, as you grow in spirit, as you grow in faith, it does matter because it is yours. And since it's yours, then it's a big deal. It is indeed a big deal because it is your situation. Hallelujah. So it's, like I said, this whole month we're going to be speaking on mentality. So the mentality is what? Is how you think consistently over time. So think mental. Think mental. So if you would turn with me today, we're going to go to Philippians 2. And we're going to go, I'm thinking, verses 1 through 8. First Philippians 2, 1 through 8. For those who are on the internet, I got for you. First Philippians 2, the second chapter of Philippians 1 through 8. I'll give you a second to get there. For those online, just don't wait for me to put it up. I ask that you grab your Bible. If you're at home, amen. That means you're probably in a place that you're more comfortable. You have your coffee or whatever. I ask that you pull out your Bible. And let's see what thus saith the Lord. I want you to be able to follow with us. Amen. All right. And he says this. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, we've been talking about this one accord thing. Every time we've gone back, one accord, one accord, one accord. How do you get it together? One accord. Double-minded? No, one accord. On the day of Pentecost, one accord. Every time God did anything in the Bible, we find the word on one accord. If my people will humble themselves and pray, getting on one accord. Seek my face, one accord. Turn from their evil ways, one accord. Then they will hear from heaven. Then he speaks back to us of what? One accord. God don't want to just disperse the thing like that. He wants to send it back in the rat. Us that. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in the lowness of mind, in mind mentality. So everywhere you see mind, think about mentality. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, you know, we're in a day and time now that everybody esteems themselves. They said, you got to go get yours. You got to put yourself out there. You got to go out there. They told me, so you got to build your Facebook page. You got to build your Instagram. You got to get your followers up on Twitter so that what people are knowing to find you. Well, I'm here today and I'm starting to learn and understand more and more. If God wants me to be found, I'm going to be found. That when God's glory is on you, hallelujah, come on somebody. If it's God's will and God's glory and you're ready, that what God has a way, it'll be somebody who will just snip a little cell phone snap and post it up there and it'll go viral. When you are ready, God knows exactly how to bring it. I know I've learned that the hard way in the last couple of months. I've learned it in the last year or so that what God is continually telling us that when you are ready, I'll be waiting on you. We say that they that wait upon the Lord, but the truth of the matter is that God is waiting on us. This is why when we talk about wait in the terms of servitude. Not that I'm waiting and I'm sitting on my hands, but I'm serving. So think about wait in terms of a waiter in a restaurant. The waiter in the restaurant does what? They serve, and we call it waiting. So as I wait on the Lord, what happens is now he sees that, okay, this person is waiting out of the goodness of their heart. They're waiting because this is the right thing to do. They're not waiting because they're looking for me to make them rich. They're not waiting because they're looking at vain glory, but they're waiting. Why? Because out of true love and admiration for me, out of true love and wanting to go to the next level, because what? They love me. Oh, come on, somebody. This is what he's talking about. So esteem yourself better than somebody else. Verse 4, he says, let not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of what? Others. Again, not about you, but somebody else. We're talking about mentality today. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what is he saying here? He's saying that this was Jesus's mentality. Jesus's mentality was not me, but we. Oh, I know I'm cussing to some of us right now. It's not me, but we. It's not me, but us. It's not me, but them. Not me, but they. Jesus always said what? He put them first. Because if he knew that, if he served them, the Bible says it like this, said, what you do to the least of me is like you've done unto me. By putting them first, what? God always made a way. He always opened up a door. He always saw fit to bless him. All right? Now watch this last part. He says, for whom, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? So hear what? Jesus Christ, yes, he knows he's equal with God, but watch this. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So here, what is this? This reminds us, wait, Jesus came down. So here's go. God took himself, and he took himself from what? Not God, but he came down and what? And robed himself in flesh. And as he came down and he robed himself in the flesh, what do we find? That he came down here and he made himself what? Like man. He was like man, but he was not man. See, when we talk about something being like or something being similar, we have this term in mathematics that you have something that is similar, that we, it's not, meaning that it has all the characteristics of it and it has some of the things, but we can never really say it's equal to it. Mm-hmm. So the closest we can get to being equal in geometry is this thing called congruence. We call it congruency, right? So then he goes on and he says this, the last part, he says, and being found in fashion as a man, meaning that he made himself as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, just we come to you right now, Lord. We just want to simply thank you, Lord. We ask that you let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, oh God. Lord, I ask that you strengthen your people today, Lord. You ask that this mentality series, oh God, Lord, just revolutionize their thinking, revolutionize their talk, revolutionize their walk, Lord Jesus, towards you, Lord Jesus. That we don't think us, but we think you, Lord. We don't think me, but we think we, oh God. And Lord, as we put forth the kingdom of God, Lord Jesus, that you would supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. For you said, Lord Jesus, that if I seek thee first, Lord Jesus, that I'll seek thee first, Lord Jesus, that you will add unto me, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name. But we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So here, as we find in our subject here, today I want to use for a subject, if I will, the machine learning. Machine learning. I know some of you said, well, where are you going at machine learning? So you all, some of you know that I am I teach math for a living, but I also am a computer programmer. Now, I spend a lot of time programming computers and trying to get them to understand different things so they can do things for me automatically. And they can do things for us automatically, or I'm teaching others how to do that. And what we find is that there's a mentality behind that kind of thought process. When you think about it overall, brothers and sisters, your mind is actually a machine. What is the definition of a machine? A machine is basically this. It's an apparatus that uses mechanical power and has several different parts which all function together to perform a task. When you think about your mind does what? It controls what your how your blood flows. I mean, it tells the heart to pump. It tells the arms to move. It tells the toes to wiggle. It tells the eyebrows to grow. All these things come from where? In your mind. There's nothing on your body. There's nothing part of your capacity, nothing part of your being that does not start where? In your mind. Everything about us, that's why what? You can cut your arm off and your body can survive. You can cut your leg off. They can even give you an artificial heart, but I've yet to see them come up with this thing called an iron brain yet. I've yet to see them replace the human brain and say that this body seeks to exist, because we know who you are starts where? In your mind. This is why Christ tells us that this mind be in you, that say Christ Jesus. So if we're going to have the mentality of Christ, then this is how we become Christ-like, despite what my body looks like. It doesn't matter if I'm tall. It doesn't matter if I'm short. It don't matter if I'm pretty, if I'm a little hard to look at. But nonetheless, it starts where? In the mind. When we think about thoughts, when we think about inventions, the inventions of the car and the seat and the chair and all these things that you sit in and we use from day to day are what? Started where? In the mind. It's a thought before it even becomes to fruition. It's a thought before it comes in. The clothes I have on, the computer that I'm talking over, the people, all these things, even you and I were what? A thought in the mind of God. So it's what? It's a machine. And with machines, we know one thing about machines. Machines can be trained to do whatever it is that they're supposed to do. We have this thing that we're talking about in science. We call it garbage in and garbage out. G-I-N and G-O, right? Garbage in, garbage out. If you put in bad stuff, expect bad stuff. It's just like your body. This is why we have to be careful about what we eat. You put good food in your body, then your body performs well. Amen? You put bad stuff, you know, you be like me sometimes, you just want to eat candy, and then you wonder why you feel bad. Well, there's probably a reason for that, because that's all you put into it. Amen? So these things, what? They do matter. So whatever we train ourselves to do is how we'll go forward, how we train ourselves. So if we spend our time focusing on the negative things, if we spend our time focusing on how bad things are, if we spend our time looking at the mentality of people and where things are going, then we'll find ourselves being trained a certain way. For the Bible tells us what? To be in the world, but not of the world. That means what? We don't process the world's data to be able to train our mind. So one of the things about machine learning you will find is that what machine learning does by definition is it takes computer algorithms that improve automatically through experience and training. What are you saying by that, Pastor? They improve by experience and training. So technically what I do is that I have a set of data. I have a set of data that I take to the computer and I tell the computer, this is how you process this data. When you see this, you do it this way. When you see that, you do it this way. And what happens is the computer starts to be trained. Then it automatically knows how to do it. I don't have to go over there and tell them every time, this is how you do this. I don't have to go over there and tell them every time, this is how you do that. It picks up training from what? The experiences that I gave it. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, let me connect this to you. See, God has been what? Machine training us the whole time. He's given us his word, and he's given us a set of data to be trained by, which is what? In his word. If you would turn with me to Matthew 5, 3, and 11, we're going to spend a great deal of time in that here the next month. 5, 3, and 11. 5, 3, and 11. It's 5 and 3. We find here the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is called the Beatitudes. 5:1, and it says this, and seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, he trained them, he gave them data, he gave them something to start with, he gave them experiences here. He says what? 5:2, and he said, 5:3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are that they comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when all men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say in all manners of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. It's from these Beatitudes that tells us what kind of attitude we should have towards life. It's from these Beatitudes that he gives us this data set. Are y'all following my analogy? He gives us this data set that we are to train by. And as we train by this, watch this, it becomes automatic in us. Just like I was training the computer. I have this computer say, do this, do this, and this. Do this, this, and this. And after a while, the computer starts to pick up on it, and it does it automatically. I don't have to tell it to do it. See, this is what God has given us. What he's given us this data to train our mentality. He knows that there's a mentality out there. You can get a mentality without even trying. But we have to be deliberate in our training. Just like we get up in the morning and we pray. That is a deliberate thing. Some days I know y'all probably picked up pastor be tired. I just want to go to sleep just like you do. But I have to be deliberate in my concentration towards him. I have to be deliberate in my walk towards him. Just like you are deliberate in your walk towards him, you have to be very deliberate and strategic in how you go forward. So here what? God gives up, God and Jesus, both one and the same day. He sits here and he gives them these things to train on. So we're going to deal with the rest of the month. We talk about mentality. So think about this as the overall reaching that we talk about machine learning. That what this machine is your mind, and we're training your mind. And every week for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about two of them. So consequently, today we're talking about verse 3 and 4. We're just going to focus on that. Why? I couldn't go through all of them today, but that's call up on it. Because there's going to be somebody who's going to try you next week. And you're going to pull up on one of these attitudes. And you're going to remember, say, no, I can't do that. Why? Because I'm trained differently. My mentality is different. I've been trained a little different. And because I'm trained that way, that my mind is a machine and my body belongs to him, and I just can't do what I want to do. I can't say what I want to say. I just can't go the way I want to go. Even though you might feel like it. Even though they might deserve it. What does it say here? Okay, so let's go. So I go to the point of 5 and 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Two things here, the worldly things that clash here, that he's speaking to us. Pride and personal independence. Pride and personal independence. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Meaning simply this, that I do not rely on me, but I rely on him. See, brothers and sisters, I've been going through some battles in my own mind. I've been going through some situations, and I know many of you have, and that you've been trying to make things the way that you want to make them. Mm-hmm. I can talk about me. That I want things to go the way I want them to go. I wanted to fall a certain way. I wanted to go a certain move and have a certain feel to it. And when it didn't go that way, or when it didn't go that way, I found myself being a little upset. I found myself, my equilibrium being off. I found myself acting outside of character, which is my mentality. My mentality has changed. Why? Because I'm worried about how I'm going to look at a certain situation. I'm worried more about what people were saying than what God was saying. I was worried more about how I was going to look when this thing was said and done versus what. See, it's so easy for us to say this. The Bible says, Be what? Be careful what? Because you have so many different things that so easily beset you, right? He says, wait. It don't mean that you in sin, but some things are sin and some things are waste. So that's why we got to be careful of the weights, that those things that so easily can beset us aside, those things that can push us off, those things that can rock us. Why? Because we are in this thing of life and everybody else is about them. This pride of life. Look at me. Look how many followers I got. Look how many people come to my church. Look how many people I got doing this. Look how many people I got doing that. And if the truth of the matter be told, some of the lies are miserable. They live a highlight reel that we only get to see on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. But God tells us what? That I am what? To depend on him. See, the thing is, we can get at a point that we worry ourselves to death about stuff we shouldn't even be worried about. I'm worried about how this is going to happen. I'm worried about, well, if I get the vaccine, is it going to kill me? Well, I'm here to tell you that more likely the things you've been eating was killing you. Probably killing you faster than you ever realized. If you talk about the soda, it's almost, you can take a Coca-Cola and literally go pour it on your battery and eat the acid away. But yet we drink those like it's nothing, right? So, see, we worried about the. What happens is what? Our mentality is starting to be shifted instead of saying, well, what about me and what about thee and what about thee and what about him? And I know that what? He has everything. All riches and glories is in his hand. He controls whether I live or die anyway. All he had to do is remove his hand. You can do everything perfect in your body and walk down the street and somebody's not paying attention hit you. I lost a cousin like that last year. Mind his own business, changing his tire on the side of the road. Some lady won't pay attention, she hit him, killed him at 39 years old. It can happen. And that has nothing to do with you doing any of these other things. You understand what I'm saying? So God is what? We have to depend on him at all times anyway. And I know why, because we got this thing, or we felt like we did this, or we got good credit, and we did that, and this worked out. We're thinking that we did it, and I'm here to tell you today, you lose your job, let's find out how good your credit stays. Let your body get sick. You don't have to do anything. You can be doing everything you're supposed to be doing, and then that old body fail you. Because it's prone to failure. That's what it is. It's made of what? Flesh and blood. So it's prone to fail us. So what happens if your body fails you then? What do you do? You could have been doing everything perfectly, and it fell apart. So this is why he tells us what? We cannot take in pride of life. We cannot take in the pride of this, but what? Know that we are dependent on him. So this is why he said what? The poor in spirit, meaning that, God, I understand that what I have comes from you. What I have and what I'm going to do comes from you. And because I have that mentality, he tells me what? That I'm going to be raised. He said, they that what? They humble themselves, that what? He will raise. That is done in secret. He will reward openly. So the thing is, what I found out through my journey of going through this is that what I've lacked more than anything is I really didn't have faith. If I'm worried about it, that means I'm not faithful in it. Because if I believed it was going to happen, I wouldn't be worried about it. So there's always this thing that's fighting against me. This is why the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is why our motto here is what? We walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you don't have faith, and none of this makes sense. None of it's going to happen. You got to believe that it's going to happen. You have faith to believe that chair is going to hold you up when you sat in it. How many of you sat in that chair and thought, is this chair going to hold me up? Now, probably not one of you. I know I wouldn't. Why? Because it's done it for me time and time and time again. Now, there have been some situations I walked over to a chair and I'm like, ooh, that looked a little rickety. Right? We've all been there, so I don't know why, because maybe that chair or something like that before has failed me before. And since it's failed me before, I don't what? Trust it. This is why experience is essential. And that's why we talk about in machine learning, what? You give the what? Experience based on small snapshots, and the machine gets better over time. So what does God allow us to do? He starts us out with the Beatitudes. And he gives us what we should be thinking and how we should be talking. And then as we experience life, it gets better. The machine gets better. The machine makes better decisions. And the machine makes decisions automatically. Think about it. As you live this life and you go through the things you go through, now you find yourself and you go back and you look at the things you used to do last year. Do you not find yourself making better decisions in certain areas of your life? And you do it automatically. There's certain things that I just don't spend my money on no more. It took some time. It took some experience. It took me to be having to live from check to check. It took me from having to borrow from this one to borrow from that to make my ends meet. Until I got to a point in time, I said, no, this is not going to happen anymore. And I had to change some things. And when I changed those things, now I got to that point. And now when I see things and I recognize them from what? Experience that says, I've seen that before. And I know what happened the last time I did that. Oh, y'all see how that thing works? Now I don't do that. And I automatically don't do it. So when I see sin, if I knew I struggled with a certain sin before and I struggled with a certain thing in my body before, I already know that I cannot have that. I already know that me having pizza sauce late at night is not a good situation for me, no matter how many pounds I lose. I thought it was just me being a fat boy. Now I lost all the weight and it's still not good for me. Experience tells me pizza sauce and drink crazy stuff, I'm going to burn all night. And I see a lot of heads, so I know I'm not the only one. So you learn these things from what experience. So automatically, they say go. And what happens is this is how what God's given us what this training data here so that when these things come, it's like when they start talking that, nope, I already know what I need to be. Why? Because I've experienced it. And now the machine has changed its mentality to say, that's not for me though. Are y'all following me this morning? So then the second one that we wanted to touch on today was number two, he says what? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Well, one way to think about this is that we think about the opposite of it. You know, you think about what they call the counter argument to this. And there are these things called the unbeatitudes, which are just the opposite. So sometimes to understand the positive side, you got to understand the opposite side. So if you understand the opposite, then you know it's the opposite of that. So they call it like they say, wretched are those that deny the tragedy of their sinfulness, for they will be troubled. That's the opposite of that. Let me say it again. Wretched are those that deny the tragedy of their sinfulness, for they will be troubled. Meaning simply this. Those who are in sin and don't acknowledge that they're in sin, they're headed for trouble. Why? If you continually to sin, you continue to do these things in your body, you are headed for trouble. But watch this. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, but blessed are they that mourn, that they should be comforted. Meaning that I acknowledge what I'm in. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my shortcomings. And because I acknowledge them, God has said what? That he is faithful to do what? To comfort me in them, that he's going to forgive my sins. That he's going to give me mercy, that he's going to look out for me. So by me acknowledging where I am, not thinking more highly of myself than I ought to, but acknowledging where I've called, where I've fallen short, where I've missed the mark, where I've not got it done. If I acknowledge that, then he's more than amped to send me help. To send me somebody to help me get through that, to help me work through that, to help me understand that, to help me to go to the next level, to help me understand. See, brothers and sisters, we're not in this thing by ourselves. We're in this thing all together. And the faster that people can believe that and understand that, single week now, it's like a verse that said one accord. One accord. I'm going to do a word study and see how many times that word one accord in the Bible. I don't know about you, but over the last 5 to 6 months, it seems like we keep seeing it. One accord, one accord, one accord, one accord. They're trying to get the whole world on one accord right now so they can demolish this virus. One accord, that's all they really want. Because if everybody would do what they said do, then they'd probably already be gone anyway. But you know how it is, red-blooded Americans. Well, it's my right. You're right, it's your right to die too. Call it what you want. I tell anybody, I don't, here at Safe House Church, I don't tell people what to do. We just lay the facts and you make your own. You all, God has given you sense, he's giving you wisdom. This is part of the data training. And you learn over time, as I make better choices, and I get understanding of those choices, then what, I get better outcomes. Now, that didn't mean that, everything going to work your way all the time. But that means also that what? Some things are going to come. So what are they talking about? The mourning. That means the mourning, he didn't say that you won't want to have trouble. He says it like this in the Bible. He says, I think it was Job said that man's days are short and full of trouble. He said, but what? Be weary when every man speaks well of you. Mm-hmm. Even though you know you're doing well, but be wary of that. Why? Because everybody sees you in that light, then they see something else that they're willing to take advantage of. So you got to be careful that every man. So when somebody doesn't speak well of you, don't count it. Don't sweat it. That means I'm doing something right. See, I used to have this thing. I want everybody to like me. And I think all of us do to a certain extent. But then you have to get to the point when you realize why they don't like you or why they don't care for you or why they don't. I find myself, oh, I'm okay with that. If that's why they're not liking me, oh, don't like me then. And these are what? These things that we measure against our data set. Mm-hmm. That we find as we go forward. So what? Number two, what do we walk away with in the second beatitude is we got to have happiness at any cost. The worldly value is that they want happiness at any cost. Now, I don't know about you, and if you all find it both here online and here in the congregation, you all tell me, but I don't see anywhere in the Bible where he said you were going to be happy. When the Bible talks about happiness, it talks about it differently. What does he talk about it as? A three-letter word, J-O-Y, joy. See, joy is different from happiness. See, joy is a mentality. I decide that I want to look at it this way. I decide I'm going to take it this way. When this happened, yeah, it was bad. But you know, what if this happened? Because to every bad side, there is also a good side. Well, I broke my leg. Well, look, I didn't get killed, though. See, we have a tendency to what? To pick up the negative. And when we talk about this mentality, that you have people who walk around with a negative mentality because things have happened to them. And just things going to happen to all of us? Yes, the Bible tells us that they're going to happen to us. But the thing is, we cannot get focused that we won't just be happy all the time. Because what? I heard the root word, I think T.D. Jack said it like this. The root word of happiness is happen, which means something has to happen to you for you to be happy. I like to think my wife wanted some things that she wanted yesterday, and I told her that we was okay to go purchase. I like to think I made her very happy. And then as soon as I do something stupid or I do something wrong, she might not be very happy no more. So my happiness is what? Very short-lived, because it's always dependent on what? Our action. People say, I want to be happy in marriage. Show me where it said you must be happy. This is why you got to start as a believer, though. I tell people first, if I meet somebody, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe it's the infallible word of God from cover to cover? If so, now we can talk because we have a foundation to be able to have a conversation off of. But if you don't believe that, then what I'm saying to you is gibberish anyway. Because that's what, when I go back to, that's our rule book, that's our data training, that's where our moral compass lies. So I go back, I can do what, look, as Joel Osteen says, I can do what it says I can do, right? Right? And so at that point, it didn't say nothing about being happy. It told me what? For me as a husband, to love my wife, to take care of her, and to treat her as a weaker vessel, but also give her the love as Christ loved the church. And it told her to do what? To obey and to submit and to go forward. And if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, her obeying and submitting shouldn't be an issue. Right? If I'm living up to, most of the time, my issue is that we ain't lived all the way up to what we're supposed to be doing as men of God. Right? So, it doesn't mean you're not going to have some situations because we see Adam, you know, Eve went on and did what she wanted to do. But when did the trouble come? When Adam stepped in and did it. Because God would have took care of Eve on his own. But when Adam did that, so this is why it's important that us as men, that even when our families decide they want to go straight, we can't do it. We got to hold that bloodstained banner. We got to stand when it's all gone. So happiness, stop seeking happy. He's telling us that. Stop seeking happy, because stuff is going to come. He said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. That things are going to happen. The Bible says like this, it says it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And I often tell people like this, I say, yeah, it rains on the just as well as the unjust, but I like to think that I have an umbrella. Because he said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So think about it. When it's raining, I'm in the rain with you. I'm just not getting wet. I'm in coronavirus with you. I'm just not getting sick.
And if I do get sick, I believe that he's able to heal me. But I'm also going to use what? Wisdom, because the Bible also said, don't tempt the Lord thy God. I'm going to go over here to your COVID party, and I notice what you're doing. See, God's grace and mercy is there for us when we're in situations and circumstances we not know that we got ourselves into. Case in point, remember Paul was what? Shipwrecked. He was over there picking up firewood. And when Paul reached in there to pick up the firewood, what happened? The Bible says a adder or a snake bit him on his hand. The people looked around and they saw there was a poisonous snake. And they were waiting for Paul to die. And Paul didn't die. And they looked at him and was like, okay, something strange about this guy. Because if this happens to anybody else, they die. See, what's strange about this is they've seen you get bit by the snake, but you didn't die. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? They seen you get bit by the snake. They saw how people treated you, but you didn't die. They said, what manner of man is this? That the wind and the waves obey him. People see, this is why the Bible keeps telling us that what we are to what? Give ourselves as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That these things are going to come. But I need you to walk in joy. Because when you walk in joy, it's a... Job is one of the best examples of that. He said that what? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. For the glory giveth, and the Lord taketh away. People think God said that. No, Job said that. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he has decided. He says this, what? Right after they came and told him, his wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? Your family is gone. Your children are gone. And your livestock is gone. And your body's got boils all over it. Here you are sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Why don't you just give it up and just die? And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord giveth, and the Lord take it away. What does Job understand? Job understands that what? His joy comes from the Lord. The Bible said, let the joy of the Lord be what? Your strength. So when I'm stuck in that thing and I'm not seeing, I have to what? Rely on the joy of the Lord because I don't have anything else to stand. Then he also tells me that what? When I'm done in my strength, that what? His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So when I'm weak, then I should be what? Walking in joy. Because if I'm walking in joy, then that means I'm walking in strength. And if I'm walking on strength, that means I'm not relying on my strength, but I'm relying on his strength. And because I'm relying on his strength, he told me that what? Theirs is the kingdom of God, that I should inherit the kingdom. Why? Because I relied on him and not on me. We live in a day, they say we, they say me and not we. We're talking about this morning, mentality this morning. This whole month, we're talking about the mentality. And today I'm talking about the machine learning portion of it. What do you mean by machine learning portion? Just a quick recap. In that your mind is like a machine. And it would do whatever you train it to do. And what God has did is given us what? New training data. He gave us training data in the Sermon on the Mount called the Beatitudes of how we should think about things and how we should those things and chew on them, and as we go forward in this life and we experience things, we get better and better and better and better and better and better. And this is why what? This is why sometimes you have a tendency when you have some older saints who've been around for a while that it seems like things don't bother them. You know, I'm starting to learn now, even you know, in my home, in my marriage, in situations, that as I've been through them a lot more. They don't bother me the same. There are times I just, oh, I'm just not going to say nothing. Let them get that out. The times at work, I just shut up. Because I've seen a time in my 20s, I'm going to respond to everything. Everything and everybody. Somebody put a Facebook post that was out of bounds, I'm going to say something about it. Somebody did this, I'm going to say something about it. Because that was just who I was. I felt like that's who God called me to be. But now I'm learning in time and in wisdom. Some things are about winning the battle and other things are about winning the war. And you got to make a decision. Which one are you trying to win? So happiness is about the little, you know, the little battles in between that. But this joy that I have is about winning the war. Because I know at the end, he told me what? That he already had. Let me give you this one or two verses and I'm getting, we're going to be out of here. James 4:7, he says this. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do I do that? He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So if I submit myself to God, here comes the devil. All I do is resist him. And what? He will flee from you. Why? Because God is protecting me. I have a direct connection with him. There's no interference there because I'm directly in line with him. If you keep noticing this thing goes over and over again, continually submit yourself to him. Give your bodies to him. Give him this. Why is it so hard for us to do this? Because we live in a world that says exactly the opposite. Get yours. Do it your way. If you don't do it, they're going to take advantage of you. You know, and I had to fight this thing, you know, when I was thinking about some things and stuff at work and stuff. It was like, well, they keep telling me advantage of you. And everything, according to the world system, says, yeah, they are going to take advantage of you. They're going to ask me for more than what they're going to pay me for. They're going to ask me to do this. They're going to ask me to do that and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, right. They ain't paying me for that. They ain't getting me contract for that. They ain't doing this for that. But see, God has a way. God sees beyond that. See, we just stuck on what we see right now because of what we feel and where we've been. But God is saying, you know what? There's a soul there that's going to be saved, and I just need you there for a season. And maybe you don't even see it while you're there, but they're watching. They know what happened to you. They know who lied on you. They know who cheated. They know who wrote what. They know who said what. And they know none of it was true, but they saw how you handled that. Mm-hmm. Because a lesser man or a lesser person would have came back and shot the place up. A lesser man or a lesser woman would have came and took themselves out. So I want to know, what is it that you, because if that was me, y'all heard those conversations with people before. If that was me, I would have. But it won't you. It was me for a reason. Watch this. He says in Psalms 51, watch this. This is David talking about to Nathan the prophet after he had gone with Bathsheba. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loveliness, according to the multitude of the tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and I've done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest against me, but be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was sharpened in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But behold, thou desirest the truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Even in all, what does David say? Even in all this, yep, I sinned. I did this. It's ever before me. Some of you got some things that you've done that you're never going to forget about, and you like, you know that was bad. But God has already forgiven you. You've forgiven you, but that's there what? It's one of those things. It's that thing that you carry. It's your thorn in your side. Maybe I had this baby out of wedlock, and they gave me this and this, you know, they gave me all this hell about it. But it's okay, because now that child is grown up, and they've done this, they've done that. But it's, you've done something, or maybe you sold dope. It's this thing that you carry. You did what you thought you needed to do at the time to survive. Because you didn't know God. Because the Bible said when you come to Christ, what you come to him as what? A new creature. And all old things are what? Passed away. So yes, they're old, but you haven't forgotten. And that's, I believe, on purpose. Why? Because Paul prays this prayer. He said, Lord, I pray thrice. He says, thrice do I pray for you to remove this thorn from my side. But what does he tell him? He said, but thy grace is what? Sufficient. So I know that you deal with this. I know some of you have been dealing with some things and you think, you said, if I could just shake that out of my head, if I could just forget about that trauma, if I could just forget about that situation, if I could just forget about that circumstance, then I'd be okay. But I'm here to tell you today, no, it's that circumstance that's keeping you in humility. It's that circumstance that reminds you that, you know what, you ain't far away from being here. Don't get all like you all that now, because as quick as this happened, you could be right back over here. And this is what God uses for Paul. He uses for you. He uses for me. There's some things that if I told y'all about me, y'all be like, oh my God, pastor, did you do that? I don't know if I want to be here. And the truth of the matter is, some of you, if I knew some of the other stuff about you, you would say the same thing. But it's that thing that we deal with. So this is what David says, is what my sin is forever in front of me. I forever slept with Bathsheba. I forever had this boy out of adulterous marriage. But right after, what does God do? He gives him Solomon. And he said, what? Let this wisdom be in you. So what happens? Out of David's bones comes Solomon. Solomon, what? We know he's to be the wisest man to ever live. Do you see what I'm saying with this today? Do you see where I'm going? So he said, yes, you can judge me. He said, even in my mom, was I born in sin? My mom brought me here out of sin. In her own iniquity, right? But even out of that, you are able to keep me and you're able to hold me and I'm able to go forward. Last verse, and I'm going to get out of here. 2 Corinthians 1:4, and it says this. Who comfort us in all our tribulation? This is speaking to that second beatitude. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are confident of God. Think about this. He lets you be comfort so that you can be a comfort to somebody else. We've been singing all morning, Lord, let go, let God. We said, Lord, fill my cup so I can pour it out again. Say, Lord, they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We sing all these things and say, God, I'm making myself available to you. But what are you available for? You go through your tribulation. Why? So you can have mercy on somebody else. So you can listen to somebody else who don't know God. And they're going to get to know God through who? Through you. They're going to get to know God through you. As we stand on our feet this morning, if you wouldn't mind, I'm done. I hope that this has been a blessing to you all this morning. I just want us to just for a moment to pray and ask God to help us and keep us on this morning. So I hope that this has been a blessing, that you find that God has been working with us. We're changing our mentality towards him. As we change our mentality towards him and understand what it is that he has us in, that you're going through what you're going through, not just because of you, but you're going through that. Why? Because he's training you to be able to help somebody else. There's somebody else who's going to be helped. There's somebody else who's going to be blessed. There's somebody's life who's going to be changed. Why? Because you went through what you went through. Some of you went through bad marriages. Some of you went through things on your job. Some of you went through things in your body that you will be able to speak to somebody about that nobody else is going to be able to speak to them. You'll be able to help them in a way that nobody else will be able to help them. You'll be able to say some things, what? And be able to say them authentically than anybody else. That matters. That matters. As we go before the Lord on this morning, let's go in prayer and know that what? Even in this machine learning, that God is what? Training us to be better as we learn into the attitudes. That our attitude comes from what? In the attitudes. How we treat each other comes from the attitude that my happiness is not just a circumstance, but I'm walking in joy, that I walk in perpetual happiness unto him. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for these amazing people, Lord Jesus, that you allow us to serve. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace, your power, and your love. Lord, I ask you to continue to watch on those, Lord Jesus, who are on vacation, those who are traveling up and down the dangerous highways. Bring them home safely, Lord Jesus. Continue to watch them and keep them, Lord, like on you. Lord, I ask that you let this mind be in us, Lord Jesus, that's in Christ Jesus. That we come to know you, Lord Jesus, in a better way. That we come to know you, Lord Jesus, in your glory. That we come to know you in your might. That we come to know you in your strength, oh God. That, Lord Jesus, they, Lord Jesus, that wait upon the Lord, that we renew our strength, Lord Jesus, that we walk up as wings of the eagle, that we walk and not be weary, that we run and never faint. Lord Jesus, that we know, Lord Jesus, that these beatitudes be in us, oh God. For, Lord Jesus, that we seek, Lord, that we be poor in spirit, oh God, that for is the kingdom of heaven, Lord, that we learn to mourn so that we can be comforted, oh God, in our time of comfort, so that we can comfort somebody else. Lord, as you let us walk, Lord Jesus, and take these jewels, our information, and these jewels of your word with us, oh God, on this day and on this week. Take us, Lord Jesus, hold us, keep us, Lord Jesus, hold us in the palm of thy hand like only you can. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, we love you, and we praise your name, for we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hold us, keep us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Would there be any who need any prayer or offer any prayer on this morning? Hallelujah. Any prayer? Anybody who might desire prayer? Hallelujah. Amen. I ask that you govern yourselves accordingly. You can be seated if you can be seated. Amen. As we move right on forward on this morning. Hallelujah. For God has been good to us, and I'm just so worthy. I'm just so glad of him. Amen. On this morning, we'll move to the offering part of our service on this morning. I ask that you all, if you have your tithe and offering, to go forward. Amen. We have moved them at this time. To those of you who are online, we're so grateful for you being out there with us on today. We have here at the Safe House Church, we take our offers in the form of several things. Let me end the podcast. Thank you all for the podcast.